developer tools. People have seen you before, and Sean and I, tell us your name again.
My name is John Hervatten. I'm a program manager on the IE team.
Excellent. Specializing in developer tools?
Yes.
It's RC1. Last time we had you on Channel 9 was Beta 2. What's new? What did you learn? All that fun stuff.
Yeah. So we learned quite a bit. You know, we take a lot of feedback from our tech beta program where anyone can go in and file bugs. We also have, obviously, a lot of internal testing and self-hosting, trying to figure out, find those issues and figure out which bugs are the right ones to fix. And primarily, our primary focus for RC1 has been on quality, making sure that the style tracing that we do is accurate, the reliability is there, the performance is there, really just improving that. But there have been a couple areas that we've responded to feedback that we've gotten from the beta and made some changes. The first one of those is around view source.
Okay.
So traditionally, view source has always been Notepad. You know, you go to page view source and you get Notepad. Very trusty, reliable, but pretty basic. And with we built these developer tools, we created a new source viewer that gives you line numbers and syntax highlighting and a few other just nice features for viewing web page source. Mm-hmm. And in beta 2, we made this the new default view source application for IE. But what we heard was that people didn't always just look at source in IE. Mm-hmm. They would use view source to open an editor and then save it back to their local machine and keep testing their page and editing it. And that scenario was somewhat broken here because this is a viewer, not an editor.
Okay.
So in response to that, you know, we didn't really have an opportunity to go rewrite Notepad or create the perfect HTML editor. So we gave people the option of modifying the view source application. So they can use the default viewer, which is great if you're just going to want to view source and see what the page source is, or use Notepad if you do a lot of edits, or maybe you have your own favorite text editor and you want to set it to that.
Like TextPad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I use that in college for all my
coding.
Too.
Yeah.
And
like the way it organized things, line numbers.
Yes, and before you had to go find the correct registry key and go change that if you wanted to modify anything from Notepad, and we've made that pretty simple now.
Excellent, man.
One of the other things we've modified, and this was in its basic form in Beta 2, but we've improved it significantly here just in how well it works, is really this search HTML feature. So besides, you know, the kind of standard search that you'd expect is, if I was looking for header, I could type it and it'll do a full text search on the whole HTML document. But if I had a number of headers all over my page and I was looking specifically for an element with an ID of header, I can use the selectors API search.
Okay.
So the selectors API is a W3C standard that IE8 supports that lets web developers write JavaScript that uses the selector syntax to look for and find elements on the page. So it's an alternative to getElement by ID that in some cases can be a lot quicker. And it just gives you more flexibility because you can use this powerful selector syntax. To do a selector search in the tools, I just start my query with the at symbol, and now I type the selector I'm interested in. So pound, which is the ID selector, header, now finds that element. And it's one of those things that, you know, simple to do because we had the selectors API there, and it's really easy to use. And as people have been using the tools externally and internally to debug sites in IE8, they've told us many times that this has come in handy.
Now, what about for JScript or JavaScript?
Yeah.
Is there a JScript anymore anyway?
Yeah.
can you do the same thing? Like, I have a variable name, like line 10,000 of my file I'm trying to find.
For script searching, we just do a full text search, straight in the search.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't really the back end search algorithm that goes through it the way the selectors API search
does.
Sure,
it's a little easier when you have more formatting.
Exactly.
Well, so this is a big one. People said that they wanted to be able to edit source.
Yeah, absolutely. They wanted to have lightweight tools in the browser, simple to use. And so there are a few things that we had heard about the previous IE developer toolbar as well as the tools for other browsers that people wanted to modify that they wanted to improve on.
Hmm.
And one of the things was that whenever they'd edit their page in the tools, they couldn't save it at all. you know, and if you refresh the page, all your edits are gone. Mm-hmm. And man, I just spent an hour tweaking my CSS so it's just right. So we added the ability to save to file.
Great.
It just saves it to a text file because what's coming out of IE is likely very different than your source. If script ran on it, the current tree in IE that you're saving is very different from the original one. But it lets you back up your work. You can, you know, save the text file when you first start working and save the text file after. Use WinDiff, get a compare, and there's your change list.
Sure.
There are the edits that you need to go make. And it's another one that we found people have really appreciated.
And it could be useful too for, you know, error reporting to websites to say, hey, this is exactly what didn't work in IE7.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's or IE8 in IE7 mode.
Yes.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, and that brings up another great feature. Mm. So IE8 introduces a compatibility view and has different modes so that we have our best standards support by default, but if a web developer would like to use the IE7 behavior, they have the option of doing that. And in the developer tools, we've hooked into that. And without modifying the source, you can quickly go in and see what your page would look like in IE7 standards mode or IE8 standards mode or even Quarks mode. And we have a second menu here that has initially caused a little bit of confusion around what's the difference between browser mode and document mode. And the way I like to think about it is document mode is how IE is going to render just that document. You know, really, which layout engine should it use? Which OM behavior should it use? Browser mode modifies how IE reports its version to the web page and to servers. Mm-hmm. So when I choose an IE7 browser mode, I'm changing the user agent string. I'm setting the IE7 user agent string. And I set the version vector to IE7. And the version vector is what IE uses to compute conditional comments. So if you have a CSS file, many sites do, that's behind a, if IE7 use this file, you won't get that if you just change the document mode. But here you can change the browser mode to IE7 and in effect do some pretty solid testing for IE7 without leaving IE8.
That's really cool. Now back to the document naming, I mean, isn't that just DOM? And web developers know what DOM is, right? Document Object Model?
Yes.
They're
going to
be different. The DOM is different between these two browsers, right?
Yes.
And so document's the key thing, except for Object Model.
Correct.
So they should get that.
Yeah. The browser mode is really letting the developer test what their site would look like in different versions of IE.
Got it.
And the document mode is helping devs preview what would happen if they changed the document mode of their page.
Absolutely. Very cool. Now, what else do we have? Anything?
Well, one of the other things I really have enjoyed using is the CSS style tracing. So I've selected this element, this div, and it contains this text that appears to be fuchsia. And I'm not quite sure why it's fuchsia, and I want to figure out what style is setting this. Mm-hmm. And this styles pane here lists all the style rules that apply to this element. And it does so in specificity order based on the CSS 2.1 spec. So the rules at the bottom are the last ones to apply. Okay. They kind of cascade down.
Got it.
But in this case, I'm just looking for color. And rather than have to trace through this full list to look for all the colors, find the last one, and in more complex pages, this can be a huge list of style rules, we've taken the same information and instead of grouping them by rule, we group them by property. So now I can immediately see, hey, that's what color is applied to this element. Expand and see all the rules that set this color and disable it. Hmm. See, well, that would have turned it black. So this is the rule I want to go edit or remove.
Excellent. I love the real-time interaction with the loaded page.
Yeah, the typical developer workflow now is, edit your page and save it, go to the browser, refresh, mm-hmm. check it out, okay, back to your editor, edit it, save, refresh, mm-hmm. and this eliminates 3 out of 4 steps.
Now, one of the things we didn't talk about, I don't think we did in beta 2, is like debugging in the sense of setting breakpoints in my JavaScript.
Yeah.
Does this work in here?
Yes. So in the
I mean, I'm sure we talked about that. But
yeah, I don't think we showed it too much, but I think we talked about it a little bit. So,
nice.
Hit start debugging, refresh the page. Now, one of the things that that we've improved just underlying in the architecture is that before in IE, you had to go enable script debugging for all of IE if you ever wanted to debug scripts. And then you start getting script errors everywhere and these prompts to debug when you're going to book your flight. And then you have to go back into the advanced options to disable it. Now we just enable it on the fly. Okay. So see, the only side effect is you have to refresh the page once, and now you're ready to debug.
Great.
And when I close this IE, everything else is running without debugging. So now I can set a breakpoint on any line by clicking on it. You can also right-click and insert a breakpoint. All the kind of typical debugger features Perfect. That you'd expect. So now I'm going to execute some JavaScript here. Now I've hit the breakpoint.
Excellent.
And I've got typical commands of step into, step over, step out of. And one thing you'll see here is that these lines that I broke at are using this new console object. This is a console object. It's another thing we've introduced in IE8.
Hmm.
And you know, in the past, developers, when they wanted to output debug information, would use alert. And just get this countless end of dialogues. And if you happen to find an infinite loop this way, you're just done and you have to kill IE completely.
Yeah.
What we've added is this console object that lets you log information to the console. So you can get a lot of debug output without dealing with all these modal dialogues.
Awesome.
And this is something that was originally available in Firebug. And we use the same syntax. So if you've marked up your code for debug information for other browsers, we'll run it in IE8, you'll get the same information.
Outstanding, man. Very cool. Great. Well, hey, I'm psyched about RC1. Developers need to start really using these tools. I'm sure they have been in beta 2.
Yep.
But this is like the real deal.
Yep. This is when we really want people to get out there, test your websites, find any issues, report them to us.
Totally.
And use the product.
Cool.
We're happy.
Well, great, man. Thank you for coming by and talking to us.